This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Eric Cole was asked, have you used spider tack? Michael Jackson can't moonwalk that. Well, there have been practices from older guys.
All the players have known, all the coaches, all the umpires have known it's been going on. But you know who's getting the question? The best pitchers in the sport.
And they're all getting a little bit more annoyed by the day about it. It is Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin in for Allen today, and not just that being a big story with Gerrit Cole and pitchers around baseball with Tyler Glasnow, but even a bigger story last night is Jacob deGrom, who is having an all-world season. Andy Martino from SNY in New York covers both the Yankees and the Mets. He's got a new book out called Cheated, the inside story of the Astros scandal and colorful history of sign stealing.
We're going to dig in that deeper. I know we got to start somewhere.
We'll get into that at the end, too. Absolutely.
I love scandals, Andy. You know that. Yeah, Andy, it's been a long time, Andy. Where you been, man? It's been a long time, brother.
Bart, I've been around, but I've been missing you. And you guys sound good together. Is this your first day in this pairing, or have you have any kind of history? Because I'm liking what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like when you used to see Andre the Giant, and he fought Hulk Hogan the first time he got slammed and realized that this happened 20 times, but there wasn't nobody listening, so nobody knew. That's kind of what it's been like. But it's all good, Andy. All good.
Well, Andy,
it's a good analogy.
Let's start with DeGrom last night, Andy. I mean, it's a second straight start where he leaves with an injury. And again, he downplays it postgame. This is a shoulder. Last week, it was a flexor tendon. Where do we stand here with Jacob deGrom?
In suspense. Just before coming on the air, guys, I asked the Mets president, Sandy Alderson, if they had an update, if they were planning to put deGrom on the injured list. Alderson said that they did not have the information back yet. I'm told from another source that we could hear within a few hours. Luis Rojas usually talks at 4. We could have more information then. Mets don't have it right now. They did some strength tests on DeGrom last night. This is no imaging or anything, just moving around the shoulder. And they found what they considered to be encouraging early results on that. But obviously, you hold your breath until you get that MRI image. They do not have it yet. So we continue to wait with bated breath. And really, the Mets are good. The Mets are deep. The Mets have a good vibe going. And losing DeGrom is like the one thing that could mess it all up. So it's a big afternoon for the team.
Andy, where's the balance here with DeGrom? When we see what happened last week, the images come back clean. He says, I'm fine, no problem. And then he leaves the next start, and it makes you think he's overcompensating. Where's the balance here for the team to believe what he's telling them versus protecting the player from himself?
Well, two advantages there, Chris. It's a good point because a pitcher can overcompensate the elbow with the shoulder. Something can change in the mechanics, and that can start to lead to a sort of like a ball rolling down the hill of injuries. That certainly can happen. The advantages that the Mets have right now with their organization and with DeGrom in particular is that they, among all other teams really, have all kinds of new fangled training staff technology and biomechanical tests and information and data on all parts of their body that they have internally that allows them to make a bit more of an objective decision over whether to let a guy play. The other thing about DeGrom specifically is that there's a tremendous gap between this persona that fans want to put on him, like he's this warrior and you can't take the ball out of his hands and he's going to pitch no matter what. And what you really have is an adult who tells his manager and his trainer when he's hurting. That's what's happened over the past two starts. Hey, guys, I know I'm pitching great, but I'm feeling something. I really need to come out with a game. He's the guy that's tapping out of the game when he's not feeling good. So he's not someone you have to worry about lying to you about how he feels. He's mature enough to say, let's not make this worse. Get me out of here and let's get some tests.
You know, Andy, that's the concerning thing, though. We talk about the compensation, and what concerns me as a former athlete is that the injuries are moving to different locations on the same side, which suggests that he's compensating somewhere. And, you know, it's one thing to get an MRI. It's another thing to put the dye in. I don't know at what lengths they're going to kind of get that information. But, you know, until you kind of understand and know what's going on, wouldn't it just be okay to just give him a break? You know, just to say, you know what, we're going to skip two starts and reevaluate because they are in first place. They have an opportunity. They have a deep team to kind of try and make sure that they get it right, because that's the one thing they can't do is go into postseason without their ace.
That's right. It would. I agree, Bart. It makes sense. Now, I'm okay with their decision to start him at this time after the flexor tendonitis thing. He had the test. He felt okay. He has a lot of knowledge of his own elbow and forearm because he's had Tommy John, and they did have to trust him at a certain point with that. With the shoulder, though, he doesn't have as much experience comparing shoulder issues. It's the scariest place that a pitcher can feel sore. And like you said, Bart, as an athlete, you know better than I certainly do that when it starts moving around your body, then you really want this whole workup to figure out what's going on, and probably some rest wouldn't be the worst thing. So I'm sure they'll be smart about it, because I tell you, the Mets front office, from Alderson to the acting GM Zach Scott, all the way up to Steve Cohen, the new owner, they can smell a playoff run. They didn't know how this year was going to go. Now they can smell it, and they're going to act in the best interest of trying to make sure that happens.
Now, on top of all of that, and I'm not accusing Jacob deGrom of anything, but I think it would be a little bit naive to think that he's not putting anything on his hands to try and be able to get a better grip. Now, it may not be the spider tacky. It could be something as simple as sunscreen, right? And now with the crackdown, now you add that on. We heard what Glasnow said. Is it any recourse for maybe some of the best pitchers in baseball or all the pitchers in baseball to come together collectively and say, you know what, we're not pitching today because we don't feel like you are doing the best job? Because the job of any league is to protect their players. The responsibility of a union is to protect their players. And if all the pitchers in the league say, we're not pitching today, you can't proceed with baseball until they find a happy medium.
Yeah.
And can you see something like that brewing, led by Gerrit Cole, because it seems like he's the poster child for the, I don't know what you're talking about, I've never seen Spider 2. Oh, I'm sorry, Spider 2 Tacky. I was doing a project for my kid.
Right. Whoops. Yeah, I got stuck on the poster board. Sorry about that. Now, look, you're suggesting a potential temporary work stoppage, which is interesting. I hadn't heard that, but I will tell you that this is building as an aspect of what everybody in the industry seems to dread but expect as a work stoppage for real at the end of the season when the CBA expires. This is dividing players within the union, Josh Donaldson versus Jacob deGrom. Do you think MLB is unhappy to see them barking at each other? Obviously, you know, Bart, how labor relations work in a professional
Divide
sport.
And so separate.
There's that. That's right. That's right. Divide and conquer. So that's part of what we're seeing here. And I don't think that it will result in something immediate like that, but it shows you the fact that Tyler Glasnow would come out publicly and say, this is what got me hurt, when that's not provable. And there are plenty of other reasons for a guy who throws as hard as he does to have a elbow injury, UCL injury. But for him to think that, what that tells you about the bad blood and the lack of trust between the players and the owners, which is, sadly, everyone thinks, as I said, is going to lead to a work stoppage at the end of the year.
Andy Martino, SNY MLB insider, covers both the Mets and the Yankees, and author of the new book, Cheated, The Inside Story of the Astros Scandal and Colorful History of Sign Stealing. Mm-hmm. So, Andy, with that in mind, as Bart was just talking about, where does this particular instance of, and I'm using air quotes when I say cheating, stack up against what we've seen in the past in baseball?
In my opinion, guys, this doesn't rise to the level of what I consider to be, and I think this isn't my opinion, I think what is widely considered to be the three worst scandals in the history of the game were the 1919 Black Sox conspiring with gamblers to throw the World Series, the entire steroid era, which basically ruined the record books that were sacred in the game, and the electronic sign-stealing era, in which the Astros were the worst, but not only offenders. Those are things that dramatically impacted the public trust in the sport. And I just don't think that there has been an accomplishment tainted enough by spider tack, or, more importantly, a scandal that's happened, and it just doesn't capture the public imagination in the same way. I understand that I've been reporting on it, and you guys have been talking about it for several weeks now. It's a legit story. But I just go back to, when you found out that the Astros were cheating in 17, that I'm sure changed your view of what that their championship meant. If we found out that the Los Angeles Dodgers pitchers were all using sticky stuff last year, I don't know that it would taint the championship in nearly the same way. I just think when the dust settles from this, it will be a grade of scandal, but not on the spectrum for the most serious.
To your point, Andy, I believe that's because most people don't understand the advantage of being able to have more grip and being able to have more revolutions of the baseball to be able to have that late movement on any pitch that you throw. Me, as a great bowler, understands, you know, being able to have the revolutions to be able to have the pin action and the ball action. So I understand it from that standpoint. That's why I think it's not as much outrage, because I don't think people understand steroids, bigger, faster, stronger, hit the ball, recover. They understand that. They don't understand the advantages. But at what point does baseball itself have to take ownership of the fact that they changed the baseball again, because the baseball was juiced last year and now the baseball is different and they overcorrected?
Well, that is having an effect. And the players believe, as you said, Bart, that is something that MLB should be paying attention to instead of taking away all of their sticky stuff, including their sunscreen. And it goes back to the point we were just talking about 2 minutes ago. It's bad blood because of a point like that. When Pete Alonso comes out and says it's a fact that MLB changes the baseball to suppress whatever free agent class is coming, that is, I mean, on one level, it's an unprovable conspiracy theory and highly unlikely to be accurate. On another level, it shows that if a guy, an affable, likable guy like Pete Alonso, is willing to believe that and put it out there, it just goes to that dynamic again, and it's not good.
Andy Martino, SNY MLB insider, author of Cheated, which is all about the Astros scandal. Last one for me, Andy, and it's about digging into this thing. Was the most alarming part of all of this for you to find out that the Astros cheating with sign stealing went well beyond 2017?
Yes, Chris, the scope of what was going on with the Astros and, to a lesser extent, all over baseball, it wasn't a 2017 issue. The great reporting in The Athletic and then what John Boy did, proving it was video, was obviously earth-shattering for the sport, but it was about 2017. All through 18 and 19, there were wild accusations about the Astros coming not from fans or internet QAnon people, but actual other teams like the Yankees, the Rays, the Indians, saying to MLB, we think that the Astros have flashing lights in their scoreboard that indicate the pitch. We think that the Astros bat boys are coming out and giving them information from the video replay room, and that's why they're taking so long to take the batting gloves. We think that Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander are using different baseballs that are just for them. We're not even talking about sign stealing now. There was a strong belief among teams, and the Yankees were among those leading this charge, that the Astros were cheating in increasingly complex ways in 2018 and 2019. It wasn't just these teams either. The Dodgers complained about the Brewers in 2018 in the playoffs, that the Brewers had a television behind the dugout, were doing something very much like what the Astros did. MLB investigated the Brewers. That had never come to light. It was a crazy era of both electronic sign stealing and paranoia. Part of my job was to figure out where the line was and what was true and what wasn't. Not all the allegations that come out there are true, but the Yankees will go to their graves believing that there was electronic sign stealing in the 2019 ALCS, and there is certainly evidence to understand why they believe that.
An awesome gift for the baseball fan father in your life for Father's Day this week.
And Andy, I hope that you make a lot of money and this becomes a bestseller, because you'll never, ever be able to go to Papa Do's in Houston again.
No more alligator tacos. No, I'm done in Houston. You should see the Twitter coming at me out of Houston. These people are crazy when you insult their team.
But hashtag right, no Papa Do's.
Awesome. No Papa Do's. No nothing in Houston.
Awesome insight, Andy. Cheated, the inside story of the Astros scandal and colorful history of sign stealing. Andy Martino, SNY MLB insider. Thanks, Andy.
Gentlemen, it is great to chat with you again.
Absolutely. And it is a great, great read. Now, we flip back to the NBA, and tonight, the Nets and the Bucks in Game 6. And I've been thinking about this for a couple of days, and I know Reggie Miller actually made the comment too, and I'm a little bit surprised by it. But at the same time, I kind of understand it. If you're the Nets and you're in the position that you're in, I understand that you want to close it out as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. But is there part of you, when you're going on the road, that is thinking wholly about game seven in its entirety and just making sure that you are right for that. You want to win tonight if you can, but you're not playing Kevin Durant 48 minutes. Maybe you're not playing James Harden 44 minutes in this game.
Unless. No, I'm not playing. No, I'm playing him 40. I'm playing him 39. I'm taking 5 minutes off, especially if we're, you know, closing out.
I'm not suggesting tanking the game, yeah. But I'm suggesting managing your guys right. For a night like tonight when you're on the road.
Right, because you're shorthanded and you may have to go another game. You want to make sure that you have the horses in the stable. But I'm telling you, man, you can't play around with this. If you can close them out, you close them out. If you have them on the ropes, you do it. I mean, I think you look at what happened yesterday and you hack a bend, right? You that's why I think DeAndre Jordan needs to play. That's five more fouls to put Giannis on it, you know, to put Giannis on the foul line, man. And listen, if I'm James Harden, I'm calling what's his name? I'm calling the Undertaker's manager. And I'm telling
Paul
Bearer, rise, my son, rise! The power of the dark side. They wear black, man.
That's a pretty good Paul Bearer, by the way. That's not bad.
You know what I'm saying? I do him, and I do Teddy Love. What is Love? I love you,
brother Love. Yeah,
I love you.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. For me though, what I want to see tonight is Giannis actually step up and defend against Kevin Durant. And he's hinting that he's going to. He's saying he's going to. The saying, it means nothing.
Right, he'll be fouled out by the third quarter.
I get that. I don't want to see him the whole game. I just want to see it in spots where it actually matters.
He's not that smart. He's not used to going against guys that can manipulate the basketball, but also can, you know, if you put your hands out. You saw yesterday Pandemic Pete, when the kid was put his hands out, he just went up, hit his hands, and made the shot. Like, he's not used to going against people like that, right? Mm. He's basically going against a guard that's taller than him that he has to respect every pump fake because he can shoot over him whether he elevates or not. That's going to get him in foul trouble, which is going to hinder him on the other side because, you know, Giannis is good for two charges or a charge at least a game when he just tries to say, I'm getting to the rim, you be damned. So you get him in foul trouble. You need somebody with lateral quickness like Tucker, somebody that can get underneath Kevin Durant and physically be able to move him at his waist and below.
And we can talk about defending is a big deal.
Yeah.
What was more alarming to me was when Harden wanted him the other night, waved off help, and he went for a turnaround jump shot. That is going to bother me to no end.
That's going to bother him too because he's hurting.
It should.
And guess what he does?
And that's not even his shot.
Now guess what happens? He gets that same scenario. He been hearing y'all gas him up all the time. Straight to the basket. Harder takes it, takes a charge. He don't even get the shot up.
I tell you what.
He go ball right on top of him. I'm telling you, man, this dude is not a smart basketball player. Basketball acumen he does not have.
Well,
he's an athlete playing basketball. It is a difference.
And shooting from the outside, look, we saw him hit a couple threes the other night.
That's the worst thing that can happen. I hope he hit a couple early threes because that means he's going to be emboldened to take them later.
See, that's the thing. If you want to take a couple and you hit them early, just be smart enough to understand that later in the game, all you needed to do was make them respect it a little bit so that you can find a way to get back to the 10 again because this is where the Nets are most susceptible. You have to
inside.
Take advantage of that, and that's your entire game.
But like I've been saying, Chris, that's Brooke Lopez down low because Brooke Lopez has an array of Kevin McHale moves. He's still taller than everybody, and he's bigger than everybody, so he can get to his spot, and you're not going to double Brooke Lopez and leave their shooters. So Brooke Lopez is going to be able to go over the shoulder with an easy hook over the right or left shoulder. That's easy for him. This is a guy that when he was with the Nets, put up 20, 22 a game as a career. Easy money.
Andy Martino brought us a Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Did it on the Goodyear hotline. And
Would you go nuclear? Would you go nuclear on a city knowing that you would never be able to eat that cuisine again?
It depends on the city. Houston? I mean, I'm a Tex-Mex guy. That would be tough. Houston, San Antonio, I love you.
Okay.
I love you. You know, some other places where, you know.
Piper's Pit underrated, too.
You know, maybe in.
I know Rothberg get all the credit, but listen, I'm the only one sitting here in ESPN with a belt from the WWE.
Yes, you are. You have
the trash talking king.
Bump.
I'm the only one that is going toe to toe with Kurt Angle. I'm the only one that hung with Hulk Hogan. I'm the only one that fought with Beer Money. I'm the only one that walked that aisle with Ric Flair, the Nature Boy. Woo! I'm the one that Bischoff sent down there. But right. I just don't put it out there. I just don't put it out there like everybody else.
Going toe to toe is getting locked in the ankle lock and tapping up.
I never got my rematch because I didn't want to hurt him because his neck was fused and I would have respect for him and his kids. I didn't want to end his life.
Whatever gets you through the night. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Next, there is an interesting name that is being floated out there now, one that you didn't necessarily expect to be out there when it comes to trading this offseason in the NBA and also where he could end up. Jay Williams laying it down. You'll hear from him in moments in audio files right after Bart tells us about Credit Karma.
Yeah, speaking of karma, that's why I have good karma because I allowed Kurt Angle to be the better man that
day.
Let him get over on him. Speaking of karma, who doesn't love karma? Credit Karma does. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. And when you make a purchase between now and June 30th, you will automatically be entered to win $1 million. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney and sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Kurt, you're welcome.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
It's hard to believe that this guy could possibly be on the move. And there's some discussions about it, but after this week, anything's possible. It's ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Bart and Hahn, Chris Carlin in for Allen. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. With more than 30 unique coverage options available, Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Audio files, let's do it. Jay Will this morning on KJZ. And I tell you what, earlier in the week, we saw the story from The Athletic about the Mavericks front office dysfunction that is going on. Then you see Donnie Nelson get fired.
Here. Nothing to see here. I thought Cube said it was nothing to see here. That was all BS.
I didn't say that. Donnie Nelson gets fired the next day, which can lead you to believe a lot of things, including maybe he was one of the sources on the story. But Jay Will thinks that it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Come on.
That Luka.
Come on.
Could be on the move.
You don't trade Larry Bird.
I mean, Allen's on fire after hearing that. But, hey, let's be fair here. First of all, Luka, he is going to sign the Supermax extension this offseason.
Of course.
But that, to me, means very little. And if you're Mark Cuban, you got to be careful here. You got to be careful. This should be your first, second, and third priorities, making sure that Luka Doncic is happy. And I'm not worried about if Kristaps Porzingis isn't happy.
Tell me this. If you're going to lose Luka, you want to get proper compensation back.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're the Hawks.
You trade Trae Young back?
Would you trade Trae Young to Dallas, close to his home, Oklahoma, for Luka Doncic?
I would, considering they did it one time before at the draft.
You see what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
Like, straight up.
If I was Dallas, I would need more than Trey. I honestly would. A little bit more. What are you looking at me like that for?
Listen.
Who would you rather have now, Doncic or Trey?
Doncic. But what I'm saying
exactly.
is you're not going to get proper compensation when you're getting rid of somebody that everybody knows is unhappy. Mm-hmm. You're going to get 80%. 90% on your return. Mm-hmm. And that's great because you probably can only get 70% with a bunch of prospects and be like OKC and get a bunch of pieces. Now, you might be able to do a three-team trade, be able to get a team like Oklahoma in there and maybe get an extra draft pick in there for somebody else if they move two players. But, man, could you imagine Luka on this team? Oh, that might make them the favorites.
Stan Van Gundy cut loose this week after just one year.
Thank you.
In New Orleans.
Never coach again after what he did to my Pistons.
Here's the Pelicans executive VP, David Griffin. Look, I think Stan Van Gundy's a good coach.
I want to come back as an average coach.
I don't think he's average. I think
this man is getting a chance. He probably still getting paid from the Pistons. Now he's about to still be getting paid. He's going to get paid double time. He double dipping.
The Charlie Weiss of the NBA.
Yeah, right. He double dipping. Going to be sitting at home based off reputation about what he used to be when he was the Orlando Magic's coach. I want to come back as a coach because coaches, man, I tell you what, man, they got the best gigs in the world. You can get fired and get all your money for doing nothing.
He could absolutely make a fortune as a broadcaster because when he did it before with TNT, he was outstanding. Outstanding and funny. I'll give him that. It may be the place to go for him. Then we flip to the NFL. And we know that the Titans have made themselves infinitely better. At least they think they have.
Infinitely?
They think they have with picking up Julio Jones. I was a Corey Davis guy, too. You know who does think they're better? Derrick Henry. And you know having somebody like like Julio Jones has got to make him happy. Look, we know that when Julio Jones is on the field, he's a better player than Corey Davis.
Yeah.
Of course he is. The question is he going to be on the field enough? Now, we discussed this at length. He actually hasn't missed a ton of games before this past year. Mm-hmm. It's just going up until when you're filling out the card an hour and a half before the game on Sunday as to who's active and who's not before you can find out if he's going to play.
For me, what's different in Tennessee that was different in Atlanta, right? You think about A.J. Brown. Well, Calvin Ridley, right? They don't have a tight end. They're trying to maybe trade for Zach Ertz. You had Hayden Hurst, right? You had a good offensive line there, too. At one point, you had Tevin Coleman and you had Freeman. I mean, I don't get it. Like, you had a great offense before. So, to me, this is a lateral move as far as what I expect from Tennessee. I expect them to still be able to put up a bunch of points. I expect them to have an explosive offense. But if Bud Dupree and his ACL isn't healed, they can't get to the passer. So, you can put them both. You can put Julio. You can put A.J. Brown. Derrick Henry on the bench, because at some point you got to be able to stop somebody. And I just don't know if Tennessee can stop anybody. Caleb Farley, great prospect. One of the greatest guys that I broke down during the draft. This dude got a back like Larry Bird and Michael Porter Jr. So what are we talking about? So it's still a lot of questions. I don't think it elevates them past the top five teams that were previously, you know, ahead of them in the AFC.
From one receiver to another, Odell Beckham Jr., a lot of speculated,
they traded him yet,
including you, that maybe his future was not in Cleveland. But it's minicamp, and everybody looks great in minicamp. Just ask Baker Mayfield. Will Odell Beckham Jr. finish next season in a Cleveland Browns uniform?
No, this is the last year of his contract. This is a year where they had a natural out. You can't trade a hurt player. So as soon as he's able to clear waivers and he's medically cleared, I think they start looking to move him because this team was vastly better without him in the lineup.
If you're a team that's desperate for a receiver or you lose somebody in training camp and you feel like you're close, would you trade for Odell Beckham?
Yeah, you know, a perfect team is the team that he was always trying to get to when he was trying to leave New York. And I think, you know, he goes out there and maybe joins the Rams. You know, you think about what they have out there. This is a team that's not afraid. They inquired about Julio Jones. They have Robert Woods. They have Cooper Kupp, mm-hmm. right? They have a great running game.
I love the tight end, pretty good.
Yeah, I love Cam Akers.
Yep.
And they have Deshaun Watson, but you can't depend on him to continue to be healthy.
You mean Stafford? Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah.
Right? You can't depend on him to stay healthy. You know, he's always injured. He's great and one of the greatest deep threats ever. But if you get a guy like Odell Beckham, now you're really working with some of the team that's trying to win a championship right now. You can make a trade for Odell Beckham.
Barton Hahn is brought to you by My Computer Career Training.
A tree just fell, by the way.
Training for a better life. Up next, the U.S. Open is underway at Torrey Pines, and somebody who's never won the Open has a chance at a career slam on his home course. How has it all begun for Phil Mickelson? We will fill you in moments on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Hahn.
Listen, on his home course, trying to win the U.S. Open for the first time in his career, could have a chance at the career Grand Slam. He is 2 over through 4, so not a great start at Torrey Pines for Phil today. We've got 5-6 different golfers at 2 under right now, including Francisco Molinari, leading the way as they are underway at Torrey Pines in La Jolla, California. It is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let us get to some calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Big Game 6 tonight. Nets and the Bucks. Rashard in Brooklyn checking in. What's going on, Rashard? How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Really brief, because I know we're kind of in this area over Game 5 with KD. Now, I'm a Brooklyn fan. Don't get me wrong. I love KD. But can we really expect that for Game 6? Because I really feel like the Bucks gave that game away just as much as KD gave them those 49 points that he gave them.
Of course. Yeah, both can be true, right? I think you can, one team can take it and the other one can give it away. I mean, you think you need certain things to go right. But you can't say that the Bucks gave KD those clutch shots that he's made when he's being contested and he's throwing it up. When the one he looked up and he's like, "Ooh!" Like
and he's off balance.
Yeah, that was late in the possession, and that was big time clutch plays at big time winning time.
And the other thing too for me is, yes, I think that's 100% fair about the Bucks, but I do want to see Milwaukee on their home court after what is an incredibly deflating loss. Go find a way to get it done to get to Game 7. I actually don't rule the Bucks out completely in this series, but let's look at one thing with the Nets right now. Look at what's going on. You could have them facing the Hawks in the conference final, and then Kawhi's out. Utah doesn't exactly look
great right now.
I mean, the Suns would be their toughest challenge by far, and we don't know what's up with Chris Paul right now as far as his...
He's in a protocol.
Yeah, he's in the protocol, and granted, I mean, he would be back for the finals, but you don't know how long he would potentially miss in the conference finals out west.
Yeah,
I mean, this road could be getting pretty easy for the Nets to win a championship.
Well, what you're saying is, if you're any of the teams that's still involved in the process, it's like, man, like, this is... laying out for us, right? You can say if you're Utah, you're like, man, we can't. This is our best chance as a franchise to get a title. If you're the Suns, you're like, this is our best chance. Listen, we have no usual suspects left in this tournament. It's no LeBron. It's no Curry. Like, when the last time we had a finals in recent years that didn't have a Curry or didn't have a LeBron in it?
Yep.
Like,
it's
this is like that window when MJ left and then the Houston Rockets was able to get steal some back-to-backs up in that thing.
Barton Hahn brought to you by attorneys Cordell and Cordell. Fair divorce for men. Call 866-DAD'S-LAW. Steve in New Jersey up next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. What's up, Stevie?
What's going on? Carlin Barr, big fan. A couple things to bring up on tonight's Nets game. I'm bitten to the stats and analytics. So I'm hooking in on Joe Harris. I think he's the guy to watch for tonight. He's only shooting 20% from the floor and from three for the past three games. But I looked, when he scores four or more three-pointers, they have a 93% chance to win. And that's over five. That's over 79 games and only five times where he scored four or three-pointers that they haven't won the game. Now, I'm not 100% sure if that's with Kevin Durant on the floor, but personally, I think he's the person to watch for tonight. And a quick update for you on the Jets part. Looks like Morgan Moses might be coming over to secure the right side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, I saw that, and I think that would be a great deal because now you have two massive right tackles. Morgan Moses, not that he didn't play at a high level. It's just that, you know, he was a little bit too expensive. They probably want to play Brandon Sheriff over there in Washington. So now you have two veteran guys that are heavy-handed, and now you got a pit bull at left guard. I mean, if anybody can step up and be the Brandon Moore of that offensive line, like that underrated guy that nobody knows is ready to take the next step, I mean, it could be tremendous.
Yeah, Morgan Moses would go a long way to helping them protect Zach Wilson and really improving that offense. You know, as far as Joe Harris tonight, he's been terrible in this series. He's just been terrible.
There's levels to this.
I know that I've talked about this a lot this week. When role players step up, usually it's at home. And that's why I look at a game like tonight, and I don't rule out the notion that if it's not there, that the Nets are going to take it, not easy, but are going to make sure that everybody is rested and ready to go for Game 7.
We'll see the adjustments. We'll see what happens now that they know that Harden's there and they can attack him on both ends of the court.
Well, it's going to be fascinating tonight, the NBA playoffs. I'll tell you what, the second round has been better than it looked at first. It's been pretty, pretty, pretty good.
Yeah, it's because Philly's been a willing participant to be suckified.
Right, we're done. Barton Hahn.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.